So, you know, we were talking about the rich young ruler. Remember, we were talking about that the hundredfold is always working.
Yes, it is.
The hundredfold is always working. So go over to Mark 10, 17. And I mentioned that we would talk about the rich young ruler. So that's what I want to do. I want to just spend this time and let's put the hundredfold in the context that it's sitting in so that we know the story, so we know what was happening. You know, one of the greatest ways to meditate the word is to see yourself there in the story. And like you're viewing and seeing what's going on. My father and the Lord taught me that. He always puts himself in the story. And, he watches what's going on with Jesus and everybody. That's pretty cool. And then he becomes each person. And I think that's a good thing. So Mark 10, 17. Let me know when you get there. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. That's an interesting thing. Came running, kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things have I observed from my youth." Now, they call this man the rich young ruler. There is thought that he could have been in the Sanhedrin. I don't know that. There's thought that he may have been. But what we do know is he was kind of like a big landowner. He had finances. Probably family money. Probably. So we'll just use that kind of as the picture. And I don't have any other proof, but just that by the story, you know he's rich. Okay. As we go, you'll see that. So he has everything, but what is most important? And that is he wants to make sure he has eternal life. And obviously he's taking his chance because he's running up to Jesus. So he's wanting to get up there and he wants to find out how he's going to have eternal life. So it's important to him. Now, there is none good but one that is God, Jesus said. Now, Jesus is working as a man here. He's a man with the Holy Ghost. And he knows that man does not make himself out to be good before God. God gets all of the glory. This is the way it flows with us. So Jesus, you know, the rich young ruler, what you have to see is he's hoping that he has become or can become good because of the law. Okay. And so Jesus is asking him about the commandments. Now, interesting in the verses right here, he is actually naming off six of them. So he names off six commandments here. And, here's what we need to notice, that they were the six that had to do with loving your neighbor. See that? Okay, so what's missing then? The ones that are missing are have no other gods before you, no graven images, don't take the Lord's name in vain, keep the Sabbath. Those four are missing. Jesus didn't mention those. He mentions the other ones. So now just for a minute, then let's pull back and go over to Exodus. And I can read it to you. You know where it is, Exodus 20. We'll start with verse 3 there. Let's just pull back away from there and just talk about the Ten Commandments for just a minute. They say today that, and many of my friends have quoted this, and my preacher friends, and I'm good with it. I understand what they mean. But they say that the Ten Commandments are not for us today. Now, because we're in a period of grace, so we don't have to hold to them. What they're really trying to say is, we don't have to legally keep them to get God's love or to be saved. And that's true. But they're not useless to us, church. So, it's just we're not into legalism. We don't have to be. But when we follow Jesus, He's going to tell us that all the law is summed up in two laws. What are they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so if you look at those 10, that's what they are. They're all about loving God and all about loving people. So I think they're worthy to look at. But what we can do now, instead of looking at those 10 commandments looking down at us and going, you better, why don't we look at them through the eyes of God and see what he's really saying? Because, you know, most of us were raised on King James, and it's wordy, and it makes it look real, you know, it's so official, and God is official, and he's serious about these things, but let's see it through the eyes of love himself, okay? And so verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. This is what God is saying, Father's saying to us. He's saying, there's only one source, guys. There's only one source. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. So in other words, don't go chasing other gods. I'm the only one with the blessing. So you're not going to get a blessing by building something. Yeah, you know, today we don't have much trouble with, we don't have much trouble with statues, but there are other things you could chase after. One of them being legalism. There could, and you yourself being your own God. I won't say anything else about that, but you get where I'm going. Then verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So what he said, do not bow down yourself. He's saying, don't bow down to something that you already have authority over. This is exactly what Eve needed to know. It's what Adam needed to know. The enemy was trying to tell them that they could become like God if they would eat the fruit. But the problem was, is they were already like God. They were like God. And so they actually lost that position. So it was just a lie. The same lie that the enemy tries to tell you when he tells you you're no good. God's mad at you. God doesn't love you. You never do anything right. Blah, 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 blah. It's the same story over and over. Amen. Now, and then the last one would be the Sabbath. Let's see here. Where am I? Verse 7? Oh, no, I have one more here. Verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So don't tell people God made them sick. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. That's the same as damning them. Oh, the Lord made you sick to teach you something. That's damning. That is damning, church. Blaming God, blaming the name, blaming him for things that he doesn't do. Now, how do I know that? Well, what is his name? Jehovah Rapha. So you're actually taking his name in vain when you say, the Lord your healer made you sick. That doesn't work. Doesn't work. And then verse 6, where I almost jumped to earlier. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Real simple. Rest in me, he's saying. Rest in me. So you see how these ones that are about him, I don't know if that's good English, the ones that are about him, they're all really about loving you and saying, choose life, choose me. I'll be your source. Use my name the right way. Rest in me. See? And so it takes that hammer out of it. But see, when you just read it and you've been taught a lot of legalism or something, it comes off pretty harsh. Now, let's go back to the young man. So go back over to Mark. So he's keeping some of the commandments, okay? Now, let's look at verse 21. Said he observed them from his youth. And so then Jesus says, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. and said unto him, now that's big, church. He loved him. This is an opening. Jesus wants to go somewhere with him. If he was just talking to somebody, he would have just said something. But he loved him. He was opening that place with him because he wanted to do something with him. He said, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come take up your cross and follow me. So Jesus gets this look of love and compassion on him. He's about to help this guy and get the picture that only the 12 are around here listening. They're all like, okay, what's he doing? They're standing around here. They're listening. So he says, well, you just need to do one thing. You need to let go of money and riches having you. Okay? You need to let go of having you. Now, Mark 10:22 says, he was sad at the saying and went away grieved. For he had great possessions. So there we can document that he was rich. He had great possessions. And he heard loss. When he was told to give, he heard loss. He didn't hear increase. But Jesus is actually offering him an opportunity to increase in wealth and worth. He's going to say, sow some of what you have so that you can have more. And this, it's going to go on and teach us that in these scriptures. So he's sad, and he sees the loss. He goes away grieved. Now, I think, and you can't prove me wrong, but I think that he was offering him Judas's place for the future. I think he could have been the one. Now, some people think he was Barnabas. Some people think he was Mark. We don't know, and I haven't read enough into Josephus to see if he knows yet, but from what I understand, the commentators, they differ on it. And of course, Matthias became the number 12, and the Apostle Paul was not supposed to be number 12. That's an argument, but he wasn't. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so we know he had his own special place. So it's just fun to kind of look at these facts, and you can guess who you think it was. There might be a prize when we get to heaven. So praise the Lord. Now, verse 23, Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? So it's hard for someone with riches to change systems. The kingdom is the realm, the rule, and the reign. It's God's system. Okay? So he's saying it's hard for you to work the system, if you have a lot of money. Okay? No, that's wrong. I need to correct myself. If money has you. There's a difference. There's a big difference. And so, you'll start to know something about yourself when you get some integrity about money. Gosh, I've just was raised in a good era with good fathers and the Lord that didn't want preacher discounts. Jesse and I were just talking about this. Well, can you give me a preacher discount? 'Cause I'm a preacher. Well, preachers ought to be the one that have enough wealth that they can do what they need to. And I think about a time when Brother Copeland was buying a plane from, I won't mention the person who was selling it to him. It wasn't really our camp, but a great man of God. And he was going to sell the plane to Brother Copeland. And he says, well, I'm going to sell you this plane at this amount. And Brother Copeland said, no, you're not. I'm going to pay this. Now, that's integrity. That shows you that money doesn't have him. When you loan your plane to go overseas to help people in Afghanistan, that shows where your heart is. When you spend all your money on TV network, that'll show where your heart is. So we're in good company when you begin to have that integrity. Okay, now, so he's saying here, it's hard for people with riches to change systems to get into the kingdom. Now, notice verse 24, and the disciples were astonished at his words. Jesus answered and said again to them, children, Now he's calling them children for a reason. He's trying to make a breakthrough to them and say, you don't understand this yet, but I'm going to help you understand this. How hard is it for them that trust in riches? Now see, you see it? You see where he's really going. He's not saying people that have money are going to go to hell. That's not what he's saying. He's actually working on something just the opposite for the rich young ruler. So it's hard for those that have riches to get in the kingdom of God. So they were shocked that Jesus would actually say such a thing. Now, why would they be shocked? Because they were not broke. They had some money. Okay. Now, we'll talk a little bit about that more in a minute, but let's talk about this hot topic for years and about what it means. There is a story. Here, the scripture says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Okay? That's what it says, a camel. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What does that mean? There's a story that's gone around for years that there was a doorway cut into the walls of Jerusalem, and then there's big gates, and there's a doorway cut in, and if you were going to get your camel in there by night, you would have to unload the camel to get the camel through there, and they use that as an example. There's only one problem with this story. That wall and gate wasn't there when Jesus was there. It didn't exist, and what we find out if we go back and study, the tour guides came up with this. The tour guides actually came up with this. So we got to know what this means then. And so I will tell you that in the reason why it looks like this is because the Greek word for camel is chamaelon, okay? However, Jesus was not speaking Greek. He was speaking Aramaic. And in Aramaic, the word for camel is gamla. But gamla is also the word for rope. So, and they actually made their rope, it's a homonym here. They actually made their rope from camel hair. Okay? And so he said it's easier for a gamla to go through the eye of a needle. Now does that change the picture for you? Okay. So then for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God, to work with the kingdom of God. Now, needles in the ancient times weren't that little metal pin that you buy at Walmart. They're made out of oak, and they are threaded with a cord. So it's something more like this. It would be wood, okay? Something more like that, probably bigger. This is a Amazon needle, so. But so it had to, did you happen to bring that? So if you had a gamla, and you were going to try to get it through here, when you pulled it through, a lot of it, if it were a little bit bigger, it's not quite big enough, but it would come off. So to get the gamla through the eye of the needle, you're going to have to lose a few things. Or you're going to have to give. You're going to have to start giving and forgiving. See, it'll brush some of the, as you're coming through there, it's going to, some of it falls off. Amen. That's just a cute little thing, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So that's the picture here, that the rope is peeling off as it's trying to get through the eye of the needle. So hence, a rich man must learn to share some of his luxuries. That's his easiest way to say it. So now then he said, take up your cross there So he wants him to take up, Jesus wants him to take up his cause. And so you must be willing. This is what I like to say, give and give up and forgive. So you learn to share your blessings. That's what they did in the book of Acts. They're not selling everything and becoming a commune. They're helping each other get into the right place. People that needed something. It didn't sell everything and then they all went and got in one place and drank the Kool-Aid, you know. They learned to give. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, it was like, I'll help. That's how it was. And you all know that feeling. You know it very well. Okay. So Jesus is teaching the rich young man, these things. But the rich young ruler takes this in his mind. He's hearing it legalistically. Or, oh, I'm going to have to give up everything. And I can't. I can't do it. I can't give up everything. But so he's hearing a legal command. And church, we know what the law does to you. It'll tell you what's wrong with you, but it won't help fix it for you. Grace and mercy. The love of Jesus. He fixes things for you. Remember it said he loved him. So he didn't go, boy, you're going to have to get rid of all that stuff. Or probably in those days it would have been, you better surrender everything. You know, it's probably real legalistic like that, more than just boy, you know. Anyway, praise the Lord. So I can't do that very good, you know, I'm from Texas. Okay, so now, and I do want to say this to you about the camel and the eye of the needle. There is an idiom in the East, and it really started with an elephant going through the eye of a needle. There really is an idiom. But that's not what Jesus was saying, okay? That's not what Jesus was saying here. So just want you to know that for information. Now, they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who could be saved then? And so they're really concerned about it. And who can work in the kingdom? And so they just couldn't hardly believe this comparison. So what's happening? Jesus is working on their hearts. He's working on their hearts. Take your trust and confidence off of the world and put your trust on God. He's telling the rich young ruler that, and he's telling the disciples that. Take your trust in the world and the way you're making it and what you're doing and put your trust on God. I really like that. So, as we always say here, it's okay to have money. It's just not okay for money to have you. Right. Amen. Amen. God wants you to be blessed. And, but we serve the kingdom system and not mammon. So now then he helps them. Okay. Verse 27, Jesus looking upon them say, with men it is impossible, but with God, for with God all things are possible. So even now that, he couldn't have said that right there if he intended for us to take a poverty vow. Yeah. He would have had to say right there. He'd have had to say right there. Yeah. 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 Now y'all are all going to have to give it up. Mm-hmm. He would have had to say that, but he didn't. He said, no, if you get in with God, it'll work for you. Right. Okay. So, take your stand with man and it'll be impossible. Take your stand with God and all things are possible. Then Peter say, verse 28, began to say unto him, we've left everything and we followed you. Now he's talking about the 12. This will help your insight. When he said we've left all of them, the word there was abandoned. We abandon everything. That's what he said. We abandon everything all once and for all. We abandon everything. Now think about this. Peter and John left a lucrative fishing business. And Matthew had a rich source of income as a tax collector. And so just to name a couple, but you could go down the line. These weren't broke people. I know everybody gets the image of little Jesus, and he had a little lamb over his shoulders, and he didn't even have any shoes, and he was all roughed up, and you know, he came, he made two tables in his life and sold them for some shekels. That's not the truth. Jesus, first of all, Jesus had the Magi show up at his birth. They financed his first trip to Egypt and probably way on into that. Yeah. Amen. I'm talking trust fund here. And then what we see about Jesus is he had partners. You don't have a treasurer to carry around 52 cents. And this one was stealing and they were still doing okay. Because Susanna and them were all giving into the ministry to keep the itinerant thing going. But there was some point when, you know, Peter and the guys were going to go back. Maybe they thought they wouldn't, but Jesus knew, you know. They probably just, they did abandon all, but it could be that they still had their houses. Well, we know they had their houses because Jesus was set up in Capernaum. That's where the ministry was. And Peter lived right there in the town. And so we know that Jesus healed mother-in-law there in the house. And thus and such. And that Jesus had a house there. And they tore up his roof. And amen. Yeah, don't let that scripture fool you about even foxes have holes, but I don't have. He's talking about when he was in itinerary, he didn't have a place to stay all the time. He's not talking about that he didn't have a house. We need to shake that stuff off. You're not reading things right. This is, that's people with a poverty mentality are trying to get you to think that stuff. So, they leave their businesses. And so verse 29, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that had left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold in this time." In this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and with persecutions in the world to come eternal life. So church, whatever you give or whatever you give up will be compensated. Yeah. If you're itinerant, you're going to be okay. If you have to leave home to preach the gospel, which I have many times, I'm going to be compensated for it. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so one thing that I found really interesting in here, and I actually have a commentator that agreed with me that I looked at, said that the traveler should be getting 100-fold accommodations. Yeah. You know, remember Jesse saying that the first couple of times he preached, all he got was a Dr. Pepper? They put him in they put him in the church Sunday school class on a cot. The man of God bringing the word to the people, and they put him, see, to us, we can't even think that. We can't even think about treating a minister like that. It's amazing. But people did, and they did that a lot. Brother Roberts, he was itinerant. He didn't even have a home. He just went from house to house to house until my lovely wife, Evelyn. My darling wife, Evelyn. That's right. My darling wife, Evelyn, put her foot down and said, "Me and the kids are going back to mama's if you don't get us a house." And that he sowed a seed. And that night, a farmer came knocking on the door and had gone out into the field and dug up a can of $100 bills and came over and gave Brother Roberts $400 bills. He had never seen a $100 bill. Wow. And they were staying in somebody's place or something. Yeah. And he went in there. He said he had given away all the money that he made that night, itinerant preaching. He said it was a cold night outside, but it wasn't near as cold as it was in the house that night. When Evelyn found out, he gave the money away. I love that story. But anyway, that farmer comes in and says, "I apologize. I heard God." So he brings the $400. And Brother Roberts comes in, spreads those 400s out, and does this to Evelyn. And back then, $400 was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. But, you know, Brother Roberts is the one who had the revelation of seed time and harvest. He actually is the one that made that possible for us to grab hold of. He got it first, as far as I know. Probably somebody else did, but he really taught it to the body of Christ. So, first class accommodations. So, you should, as you give up, and you've had to give up some things for Jesus sometimes. There's been times when I've given up a vehicle or given up getting to do a certain thing or given up or this or that, that I'm promised 100-fold. Yeah. Yeah. Church, the 100-fold works all the time, either way.
Yeah.
It's going to work either way. And it's going to work with a teaspoon. It's going to work with a bucket. It's going to work with a dump truck. So is 30 and 60. It's a law, not a legalistic law. It's a law that's running. Whatsoever man sows, he's going to reap. So Peter and the guys are blessed. Now we'll finish up here. So, they give up their comfort, but I'm telling you, they're blessed. Now, the thought is that maybe Jesus was trying to rebuke Peter here. Because he said, we've left all and followed thee, as if maybe he was bragging or fussing or something. And we don't exactly know that. But that's how some people feel about it, that he could have possibly been trying to rebuke him. I don't think he was. I think that he was kind of spoke a lot out of turn. And that he just said, well, we've given up everything. It was just a thought.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily think he was going, we've given up everything now. What do we get?
Right. Yeah.
I just don't get that feeling. But if he did, that's okay. But what I see here is that Jesus is making a point here. And the point is that it's a heart matter.
Yeah.
It's a heart matter. Okay. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, if he was trying to say, well, we deserve something, maybe, but I don't think so. I think Jesus is just trying to work on them and say, it's all about your heart, guys. And I think we can prove that. Just walk with me a little bit further here. The young man wanted to know if what he was doing would give him eternal life. Peter was overwhelmed and happy that he'd passed through the eye of the needle test. That's what I think. Maybe he was just bragging, I don't know, and thinking he deserved something. But Jesus' words pretty much took care of that. He was like this. I want to read the last verse to you, and then you'll get this. Let's talk just a minute about the very last scripture there, and we'll close with this. Let's see if I wrote it down in here. I guess I didn't. But verse 31. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. So many thoughts about what this scripture means. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. Let's just talk about what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that poor people are going to get into heaven before you do. Has nothing to do with that. Well, you know, the weaker people will get in before you. No, salvation is based on you receiving Jesus Christ, period. Young, old, rich, poor, fat, skinny, bald hair, beard, whatever. The only way you're getting in is by receiving Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But many that are first shall be last, and last shall be first is just really telling us that earthly rank will not automatically translate into an inverse heavenly rank. well, you were here on earth, so you're going to be here in heaven. No, that's not what Jesus is saying at all. Here's what Jesus is saying. We'll say it Texas right here. You're going to be real surprised when you see who's in heaven. And you're going to be real surprised when you see how heaven works. Church, God's trying to get people in.
Right.
He's not trying to make it hard on everybody. He wants to get everybody in. He loves people. And so this, and you find the scripture in other places, but heaven's value system is different from earth's value system. And so the rich young ruler looked pretty good on earth, but that's not going to help him. He looked pretty good on earth for two reasons. Yeah, I was rich, but he looked pretty good because he was keeping some of those commandments. And to the Jewish people, he looked pretty good. But that's not what was going to get people in. He wasn't going to get eternal life. Are you connecting them now? It wasn't the first. Okay, so now this is my thought, okay? And I'll just tell you. I'll just tell you what I see. First was the law and last was the grace. Okay? So, grace will be first. And law will be last. That's the easiest way I can tell you. We are saved by grace through faith. And rich or poor, you can be rich and get in to work the kingdom. And you can be poor and you'll need to get rich in the kingdom. Because Jesus said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. And rich means something different to everybody. As Americans, we're wealthy. We all came in cars. We're all sitting in a nice building. The air is blowing in here. We all have food to eat. We all got really spoiled. And in the last 2 years, we've had to deal with ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're making me, well, you know, we say a lot about that, but the truth is that we're very, 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 very blessed.
We are.
Very blessed. And that's good. That's good. But it isn't because we've kept all the commandments. We're never going to earn God's love. Jesus said there's one good. He said it right there. There's one good and it's God.
Yeah.
And Jesus didn't even ever sin. And he still said that. Mm-hmm. The first will be last. And the last will be first. The law's coming in second place. That's what I think it means.
Yeah.
I think that the law, you know, that you can't, you're not going to be able to count up all your goodies. Now I'll give you one more thought on it as we close. Reverend Wonderful Pastor John would say Reverend Smell Fungus, but I won't. Sister Dry Dust. Reverend Smell Fungus. Pastor John's such a card. Oh, praise the Lord, I miss him, but won't be long, we'll see him again. Reverend Top Notch has gone all through life, won 3 million people to the Lord, done so well, enters heaven. They're playing the music. They're calling him down. Oh, he probably is in like this. See, even someone's horn is honking over here. And so he sees all these trophies up there. And when he gets up there, the Lord says, Reverend Wonderful, would you please carry Mrs. Tifa Teller's trophy for her because she prayed all these people into the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first will be last and the last will be for every prayer you pray.
Oh,
Every time you intercede for people is just as important as every preacher that's going out there preaching. Every time you've read the word, confessed the word, declared the word, worshiped God, it's going into your book. Every time you stood up for truth, every time you stood up for Jesus, every time you gave so that a minister could do what they need to do. The first will be last and the last will be first. There's not going to be anybody there that's, you know, to us, we're thinking, man, I can't wait. I'm going to see King David and it's going to be wonderful. And I'm going to see E.W. Kenyon and A.A. Allen. And I'm going to talk to Brother Roberts. He's tall, so we'll be looking up at him. And, you know, and I'll, and that's going to be good. And they are our heroes. And that's wonderful. But Rachel Tiefenthaler is a hero.
Yeah.
The Halversons, who did all that praying way back in the early days, they're heroes.
They are.
All of the worldwide prayers that Billy Brim's put together, they're all heroes.
Amen.
They stand up for what's true. All the thermostats are heroes.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all receive this tonight? All of you out there, you're first because you're in grace. You're first. You've made it through. And you can be blessed. You can have your hundredfold return. You can have all of that. It's working all the time. All the time. It works either way. If you were to know a mechanic who was working on a car and the man paid him to change the spark plugs and he just cleaned them and put them back in there, that is going to work too. He's going to get a hundredfold return on cheating. And the only way that you're going to, you got, well, that's not me. Well, it is true that you do have grace, but what you need then is mercy. And to make that correction and start sowing other seed and go to the throne of God and command a crop failure over your, now if you told the guy your spark plugs were okay, I'll clean them, I'll put them back. But if you just, you know, think, well, that's kind of small. It really isn't. Your integrity starts on the littlest thing. Your integrity starts on the littlest thing. They accidentally give you $20 back at Walmart and you go out of there going, praise the Lord. The Lord gave me $20. Turn around and march yourself back in there and say, you gave me too much money, honey. That's integrity. In the ministry, if we send someone with the card to go buy something, they will not buy one thing we didn't ask for. Mm-mm. It's integrity. You don't choose. That's what Satan did. He chose over what God wanted to do. You don't ever make that decision. You do exactly what your boss told you to do. That's integrity. Well, you know, I just bought a tennis ball. That's not integrity. Well, you know, I got a Coke on the way out. You got to start with your heart. You got to start with your heart. That's kingdom thinking. But that's going to happen because you're living in a grace that will empower you to make the right decisions, not because you're being legalistic. Does that make sense to you? Praise the Lord. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.